Welcome to Charlottenburg Palace. If you only have a few hours in Berlin and you want one piece of the old Prussian story before the modern city takes over, this is the place. But before we walk through the rooms, let me tell you about the woman whose name the palace carries. Her name was Sophie Charlotte. She was born in 1668 in the small German court of Hanover, granddaughter of an exiled English princess. She was clever, she was musical, she played the harpsichord and sang Italian opera. She was skeptical of formal religion, attracted to philosophy, and she counted Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz, yes, the Leibniz who invented calculus alongside Newton, as a personal friend and walking companion. When she was 16, she married Frederick, the Elector of Brandenburg, and in 1701, her husband had himself crowned king in Prussia, which made Sophie Charlotte the first queen consort that the new Prussian kingdom ever had. Her husband gave her a country estate west of Berlin, a village called Lietzow, as a wedding present. She built a small Italian villa there as her summer retreat. She filled it with poets, painters, philosophers, and visiting opera singers. She called it her Court of the Muses. Then in 1705, at the age of 36, she died, suddenly, of pneumonia. Her husband was devastated. Within weeks, he renamed the palace and the village Charlottenburg. The Castle of Charlotte. It is one of the great love letters in stone. Frederick I then enlarged the palace dramatically. He brought in the architect Eosander, sent him to study Versailles, and the two long wings stretching out from the central pavilion are the result. Inside, the rooms grew grander. There is the white and gold oval hall facing the gardens. There is the Eosander Chapel, with its painted ceiling and its silvered pulpit. And there is the porcelain cabinet, which is, I think, the most extraordinary single room in any palace I have ever seen. The porcelain cabinet, finished in 1706, is a room whose walls and ceiling are entirely covered with Chinese and Japanese porcelain, thousands of pieces set on gilded brackets and shelves of dark wood, climbing up and over the ceiling vaults, blue and white and gold, repeating, repeating, until your eye loses count and you simply stand and stare. In an age when porcelain was rarer and more expensive than gold, this was Frederick's way of saying, I am a king. Frederick the Great, his grandson, added the new wing in the 1740s and made Charlottenburg his Berlin home before he built Sanssouci in Potsdam. His apartments here are different in mood, lighter, more elegant, the Rococo of the new generation rather than the heavy Baroque of the old. And the gardens, originally Baroque, were softened into the English landscape style in the late 18th century, with the Belvedere Pavilion rising on a hill above a carp pond. The Belvedere was designed by Karl Gotthard Langhans, the same architect who designed the Brandenburg Gate. Now there is something I have to mention, because if you do not know it, you will misunderstand what you are seeing. Charlottenburg was almost destroyed in the Second World War. Allied air raids in 1943 and 1945 set the palace on fire. The porcelain cabinet collapsed when a bomb hit the chapel next door. Most of the original porcelain had been removed for safekeeping before the worst of the raids. But it was then carried off to the Soviet Union, and most of it never came back. What you see today is, in many places, careful and extraordinary reconstruction, done over more than two decades after the war. Replacement porcelain was acquired from collectors all over Europe, and small vases were remade by the same royal porcelain manufactory that had made the originals. Look closely at the bracket work. You can sometimes see where the old meets the new. A final story before you go inside. Charlottenburg once held the original amber room, the legendary chamber lined entirely in mosaiced amber that Frederick I had commissioned in 1701 from the amber master Gottfried Wolfram. He later gifted it to Tsar Peter the Great. It went to Russia. It was looted by the Germans in 1941, and in the chaos of 1945, it disappeared. It has never been found. Walk through the rooms slowly. Walk out into the gardens afterwards. There is a small French-style parterre in front and an English-style park behind. And if the Belvedere is open, climb the path and look back at the palace from above. Sophie Charlotte's small country villa, transformed by three centuries of grief and ambition, is still there in the middle of it all. Enjoy your visit.